This is the Screaming Pods Network on ScreamingPods.com.
And now, on with the program.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pilot Project. This is the show where we travel to other dimensions to enter combat tournaments, not to save Earth, but to get access to all the weird and the wild TV pilots that Hollywood has to offer. And today, as usual, I'm joined by the Scorpions of my Sub-Zero. That is Dirty, Dirty Dustin over there. We are actually in person again for once. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen your face.
I don't know that I care for this in-person contact. And our guest for today, he is a writer for Central Trek. He's a brand new father. And he's dressed in a skin-tight bodysuit, just like Vorpax, and he's given us constant close-ups of his moose knuckle. It is Javi Fuentes. And I appreciate you just constantly thrusting in my face.
I was going to say, if we were going with the Scorpion Sub-Zero analogy, I was hoping I'd at least be like Reptile or Smoke.
No, you're my Vorpax, baby.
Aww.
I love the green bodysuit you're wearing.
You look more like a, I mean, you get more of a Johnny Cage vibe. But
sure, yes, sure.
But
sure.
In a skin-tight bodysuit.
Exactly, yeah.
With a boot window, just like Vorpax.
Right.
Who? Why isn't she Jade?
I don't know.
She's dressed just like Jade, but she's not Jade. She's Vorpax, whatever. Know. Yeah, today we're talking about the 1998 TV classic, really. It is a gem.
It's a show that was created.
Wait, this was in 1998? I thought it was like 92 or something.
No, 1998. It is a gem in the TV landscape. It is Mortal Kombat Conquest. It was developed by Juan Carlos Cotto, who did Freaky Links, the Ethan Embry series. If you remember that, it was like
a
web-based X-Files where he would follow haunted links.
That was around the same time, right?
It was sometime around then. He also did the From Dusk Till Dawn TV series. It was directed by Ole Sasson, who was responsible for Xena episodes and the Roger Corman Fantastic Four 1994 movie. Mm. That classic, if you've ever seen that.
I have not.
The official description of Mortal Kombat Conquest is Kung Lao has triumphed in the Mortal Kombat tournament, defeating Shang Tsung and saving Earthrealm. Now he must train a new generation of warriors for the next tournament. That is an accurate description. It takes place roughly, it's supposed to be, from what I read, I don't think they really say in the show, it's supposed to be like 500 years in the past from the very first Mortal Kombat we saw in the 90s. So that's what this is about.
Yeah, it takes place in like some city that...
Zubi Zubi Zoo. Takes place in Zubi Zubi Zoo.
And it's like got, you know, old white dude businessmen, really Shaolin monks.
It's a city. It's a Chinese city. It's supposed to be a city in China that is inhabited by 95% white people.
But it's really odd.
We got a real gem of a IMDb description, which you always like to find. This is someone who rated this one, I believe, 10 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
The title was In Mortal Kombat. And just stay with me, because this is a thrill ride.
This is a whole...
This is from Lio Davix. He wrote this, actually, this year, 17 February 2019.
Wow.
This one is a roller coaster of a ride here. So here we go. Orth American series of the year 98 that consists of a total of 22 episodes. Well, we can say that for his modesty, he looks pretty good in his sets, costumes, and photography. The story becomes a prequel to Mortal Kombat, Counting the Echoes, starring Kun Lao, about 1,000 years ago when the first film was located. There are recognizable characters such as Kung Lao, Raiden, Shang Tsung, Quan Chi, Scorpion, and Sub-Zero and Reptile, as well as characters created for the occasion as Taja, Zero, Vorpats, etc. While taking into account that this is a completely televised product and rather modest, it is enough entertaining, even if you are a Mortal Kombat fan, you may come to like that somewhat bizarre mixture of parallel worlds, creatures, sculptural women, supermen, period. The best, Kristan Loken, here redhead, and who is to Ian.
Oh my God.
The actor, Shang Tsung, does not do anything wrong, has a bad face as Kerry Takawa, and some fights are very well choreographed. Tracy Douglas as Vorpax short his breath with every movement he makes. Jeff Meek, excellent and friendly, like Raiden. The scenario is correctly recreated. The worst, Daniel Bernhardt, like Ciro, a really bad actor. The unknown Pablo Montalban never convinces me like the monk Kung Lao. In fact, the actor does not even know martial arts, being replaced by a double when the situation requires it. Recommended especially for fans of the game.
I would almost feel like the fans of the games would be the ones to
hate this
the most.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, look, Mortal Kombat is a big deal. Like you said, off pod, the 11th game just came out.
Right.
So, like, it's still going strong. I guess I'd be kind of curious, you know, like, what was y'all's relationship to Mortal Kombat back in the 90s?
Well, we were at the right age when it came out. Sure. It was one of those... I mean, most of the fighter games at that time were more like Street Fighter. They weren't animated style. Of course, it blew everybody away with its using real actors to do this the fight work and stuff like that. I mean, it blew everybody away. I loved that game.
Yeah, I worked at KFC in high school, and every Friday night, someone would rotate around and host a Mortal Kombat tournament. Yeah. So people would actually go hang out from, like, after we closed at 11 till, like, 4 in the morning doing that. So it was a huge deal back then.
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, it was funny because for me, it was like... I'm a little younger than y'all, and that was one of those games that, like, in Mexico at the time, like, only select arcades got it, but, man, you could never get in. Like, you had to be there when it opened.
Got to slap your quarter down.
Yeah, and just, you'd be there for hours waiting around. But also, it was one of those things very much kind of like, I remember this was around the same time when, like, The Simpsons were somehow controversial, I guess, but, like, this was even more so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was, but I tried playing it as much as I could.
I mean, there were Senate hearings around Mortal Kombat.
Well, remember, we had the Nintendo versus PlayStation.
I was about to bring that up.
What would be bloody? Like, Nintendo changed the blood color.
It was green.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember you got bragging rights. You had the Genesis, because you could turn the blood on to red, whereas Nintendo would not allow that.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what got Nintendo a sort of, like, that's kind of what got their kiddie company, like, reputation going, for sure. And I think that's still very true today, even though, like, now they've got a Mortal Kombat on the Switch.
Right.
And I played it, and it's got some blood in it.
It does. So,
I love my Switch. I don't have Mortal Kombat. I mean, Dustin showed it to me last night. I don't have it yet. But I would say, if you're interested in this air at all, there's a book called Console Wars by Blake Nelson. And I'm almost finished with it, and it's all about this era, and it starts back at the original NES and the original Sega Master System, leading up through SNES.
When PlayStation came on them.
Yeah, and how PlayStation was originally going to be a Nintendo product, and they screwed them over, and they ended up, of course, making their own console. It's about that whole era, and they bring up Mortal Kombat, and it's really, really interesting, and about how Nintendo was always wanted to be a family company, not only in their products, but... their games as well. They wanted it to be a familial, and they still do, obviously, for the most part. They've loosened the reins a little bit.
But the funny thing about Nintendo is, and the only Nintendo products I've had in forever is the first Wii, and then the Switch now.
Me too, yeah.
But they have family, and then, like, insanely violent games.
Yep.
You know, they go, like, off the deep end sometimes. Yeah. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, like, Doom is on the Switch
Wolfenstein.
Now. Yeah, Wolfenstein. Yeah. I forget what else, but, I mean, being kind of basic, I stuck to Breath of the Wild, Mega Man games, Cuphead, and...
Super Mario Odyssey?
Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, great games.
Perfect for, like, 3 a.m. feedings, let me tell you.
It's when you're feeding yourself, right?
Yes, exactly.
that's part of why I like the Switch, though, because I like the Mario Odysseys and I like the Dooms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you get both of them.
And the Zeldas, man.
The Zeldas. I got Zelda, too.
Yeah. All right, so just out of curiosity, what was y'all's favorite Mortal Kombat character to play with?
In the beginning, it was Sub-Zero. I didn't really play much with Kung Lao. I liked Nightwolf, and I liked the Red Robot guy. I forget his name now, all of a sudden. He was like the... They had the...
Yeah, they had, like, basically, like, Robot Sub-Zero.
Yes, Robot Sub-Zero. And, yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name, though.
Yeah.
I played a lot with Scorpion and Luke Cage.
Yeah,
for some reason
I was a Sub Zero.
Johnny
guy.
Cage, you mean?
Johnny Cage. Yeah.
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage would be a nice interesting addition.
I mean, yeah, I think Sub Zero was like the main guy for me, just because he was real easy.
Yeah.
You know, to play with.
Scorpion's
and then I liked the yellow robot guy in like Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah.
I forget what his name.
Yeah,
was.
I forget the names now too.
Because he also had like a net attack and
yeah,
just like. Hold him.
It was interesting they turned Sub-Zero from a bad guy to a good guy, because then he got his own Sub-Zero game later.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That was like an action game, right?
They took the ninja costume off and exposed his face. And
Yeah. That was so weird.
All right. So the cast of Mortal Kombat Conquest, it centers on 500 years before the 1990s tournament. So whenever that is, Kung Lao is really one of the few... characters for the show that was not made it for the show, but Kung Lao is the central character. Is played by Paolo Montalban, and unfortunately no relation to Ricardo. He has been on the blacklist since he hasn't done much since then. There's a guy named Ciro who they made it for the show, played by Daniel Bernhardt,
but not Sub-Zero.
No, as far as we know, it's not Sub-Zero.
Sure.
It's just Zero. He was in Bloodsport 2 through 4.
Sure seems to be Sub-Zero.
Yeah. Which I had no idea there was a Bloodsport 2 through 4.
Well.
And he was also in John Wick as well. He played one of the Russian gangsters.
Nice.
Taja, they did, I don't know if they ever say her name within the context of the show, but that was played by Kristanna Loken, who was in Terminator 3. She was the TX, the Terminatrix.
Uh-huh.
Then we had Vorpax, who for some reason, like I said, is not Jade, even though she looks just like Jade, dresses just like Jade, and is in a green jade-colored costume, but it's not Jade.
Right.
Played by the one I'm wearing right now.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Played by Tracy Douglas, and it's not cosplay for you. It's just your everyday sportwear.
Right. Sunday casuals, man.
Played by Tracy Douglas, who you might know her from a show called Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Yeah.
All she's done. And Shang Tsung, played by Bruce Locke, who was in RoboCop 3. He was the, I forget the name of the ninja in RoboCop 3, but the android ninja or whatever, he was that guy. And then Raiden and Shao Kahn were both played by Jeffrey Meek, who is probably best known for co-writing Beyond the Sea, the Kevin Spacey, not the biopic of Kevin Spacey, but it was about Bobby Darin that Kevin Spacey starred in. So, and then surprisingly, we had somewhat famous actors coming later. Mika, played by Jamie Presley, who was a recurring character in the show, and Hannah, played by Eva Mendes, would later show up in the show as well.
Those
recurring characters. Unfortunately, they were not in this gem. The show is, it starts off on a Mortal Kombat tournament, the one that just ended, and Kung Lao wins it, and he lets Shang Tsung keep his life in deference to the Elder Gods, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Is Shao Kahn an Elder God, and is Raiden an Elder God?
So, I think Raiden is, I don't know about Shao Kahn, but also, real quick, you're kind of forgetting, so they don't. It starts off with that tournament, but what it is, it starts off with Raiden explaining the rules of Mortal Kombat,
right?
Which
right.
is basically somehow Shao Kahn wants to invade and take over all of the realms, so he hosts this tournament to fight and let the other realms defend themselves. And if they win, then they're not going to be conquered; otherwise, they will be. So they explain this. And then after a brief little, like, weird training montage that, I don't know, looks like it was shot in a closet, the intro to the show then re-explains it all over again.
Yeah, I've got the intro, which I thought I would play here.
Oh, yes. Please.
In each of us, there burns a soul of a warrior. In every generation, a few are chosen to prove it. Centuries ago, in a time of darkness and fury, that fate befell three strangers. A monk, Kung Lao. An exiled god, Zero. And a thief, Taja. Who have to defend our Earth realm from the forces of Outworld. By fighting for their lives. By fighting for their honor.
Your soul is mine.
And by fighting for their realm.
It's the burden you must carry.
In a tournament called Mortal Kombat.
But yeah, it restates the entire thing. You're right. I didn't even think about that. He explains all the rules, and then we go into the intro, which explains all the rules.
Yeah. Then it kind of, the way it introduces Kung Lao is just, like I said, kind of like weird. Doing like a weird training montage in the shadows.
Yeah.
Really weird editing. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's both well done, but also cheap.
Well, it's funny. You don't even see his face. It's obviously it's not Paolo Montalban doing the training. It's when he's doing his kata. It's obviously not him. And it's funny, if you watch him in the fight with Shang Tsung, you can see it's clearly not Paolo Montalban doing the fighting.
Oh, yeah.
I think the guy might even have a goatee, whereas Paolo Montalban did not have a goatee, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I didn't slow it down that much. But, I mean, honestly, like, that IMDb reviewer saying that the fights are good, like, they're actually some of the worst, because, like, they're always cutting away to right before the punch.
Oh, yeah.
They're cutting away constantly, not like Jason Bourne constantly or anything like that. But, I mean, it's not – you can't tell. There's no wide angles.
It felt like the same cutscene over and over, too.
There's a lot of kicks.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because right before the commercial break, they always show, like, a fight that either happens before the commercial break or after. Yeah. So it's kind of spoiling you. But it's always, like, I did notice that they do a lot of kicks.
They do.
They don't do punches. They kick a lot.
An occasional flip.
There's a, pushing the kick button a lot. So.
Yes. Well, and the end fight of the show, they do this hand-to-hand blocking. Basically, it's just blocking Cotter, like a blocking drill. And yeah. They go to that. They literally do that in the same fight between Takeda and Kung Lao. They do the same exchange, the blocking drill, 5 times in the same fight. And it's an extreme close-up on their hands. The opening fight is the best of all of them in the show.
Yeah.
It's, I don't want to say realistic because it's not realistic, but it's the most technically pleasing, I guess. The rest of them are terrible. I'm not saying it's a good fight, but of this show's standards,
within
it's
the context,
best. Within the context of this world, it's the best for sure. Unfortunately, you know, we don't get to see a lot of like signature moves from anybody. I think
not really.
Shang Tsung sucks the soul out of one guy at one point or twice in the show. Kung Lao doesn't ever throw his hat.
He gets fake Sub Zero, say get over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scorpion.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Scorpions.
But it's like done in the get over here. Like the actor's like no,
get over
cheesy.
Here.
Yeah.
Which he's not even really Scorpion at that point.
Yeah, and it honestly like it feels like the reason why I was so surprised that it was doing like it was in 1998 or 99. Is because it does that very early 90s thing of like, all right, we're going to adapt a character, but we're purposefully going to either not give him a signature costume or give him the signature costume at the very end.
Yeah.
This is something that happens. I mean, aside from Raiden and then I guess Shao Kahn, like I could not tell you that like any of the characters are who they are supposed to be.
Well, you give you Kung Lao's up front and then they take it away from him for the rest of the
show. Right, exactly. It's like, oh, his hat? Yeah, he only gets it for like a hot minute.
Then he takes it off before the fight.
Yeah, the guy that's supposed to be Scorpion, Takeda, he's like wearing an all-black leather suit that kind of looks like his ninja costume, but there's no yellow, there's no mask, there's like a flash of a skull, but like...
The scorpion itself is for like the extra character.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like a tiny scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make much sense. I mean, they do show in the credits, if you watch the credits, they do show that Scorpion does show up proper and Sub-Zero show up proper later.
Yeah.
And you get to see the snake thing come out of Scorpion's hand and all that jazz, but it wasn't. None of that was in this first episode, which it seems like this is where they want to capture your imagination.
Exactly.
And what's the deal with Raiden's personality?
Well, you know, that does follow in the fine tradition of Christopher Lambert's performance in the first Mortal Kombat movie.
But it's nothing like the game personality.
No. It's the snarky old man trope. Yeah. The snarky elder trope, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really understand Raiden's purpose because obviously in the game he fights. In the movie he doesn't fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think in Annihilation he does either. I haven't seen that abomination.
No, he's more like
he's the Yoda or the
he's more like the cheerleader kind of guy. Yeah. And
they never say why he doesn't fight. Like, is he not allowed to?
I don't think that he is. I think he's too high up.
Yeah.
as a god of some sort, the god of lightning to fight. But again, I don't know why he can in the games.
Exactly,
he doesn't make any sense. Yeah, exactly. I don't get it. So Kung Lao wins this fight, and basically Raiden, as the snarky elder, confronts him in the Shaolin Temple that basically Kung Lao is rebelling. It's his job as the winner of the tournament to raise the next crop of fighters, even though that's Raiden's job, technically, to raise the fighters.
Right.
But he says it's now Kung Lao's job to raise the fighters.
I think it's maybe because he spared Shang Tsung's life.
Yeah.
Instead of killing, which... I don't know, man. I'm like, look, if somebody's trying to like take over the entire earth and enslave humanity, this is one of those like the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few kind of thing. It's just like
he should have killed him.
He should have killed him.
Yeah, I mean, then we'd have no show. Then
right,
we wouldn't have a podcast.
True.
Well, it's not like Shang Tsung. You know, it's not like we revolve everything around him. We could still have a show without Shang Tsung.
Oh, but I guess we?
I guess we could. We got Shao Kahn we could still do. Or he could kill him and then Shao Kahn was resurrected him or something like that. I don't know.
Sure.
There was a way to do it without sparing his life in deference to the elder gods.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just he's so well known for like the soul steely move that it's like you got to have it at least a couple of times.
Yeah, which did happen, which is one of the few signature moves. And I forgot to mention, I mean, Jin... We should talk about Jin because in the middle of the fight with Shang Tsung, we've only got talked about like the first 2 minutes of the show so far.
Yeah.
But he is about to die at the hands of Shang Tsung. He's getting his soul pulled out by Shang Tsung, and it cuts to him have a vision of this like robot woman, dressed like a 1960s Star Trek character, and
speaking like a robot.
Her and Daniel Bernhardt are about the worst actors I've ever seen put to screen. But they pan up from her waist linger on her boobs and eventually get to her face. Yeah. And this is the way they treat every
both
character in the show.
Up and down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this time we get a down. Most of the time it's just an upshot.
Yeah.
A pan up. This time we get a pan down on the way out.
Yeah.
And she gives him this very special advice to Kung Lao to keep on going.
Yeah.
Your fight is in me and put your wiener in me. And
I'm in you and you're in me.
And we are here together.
Keep on fighting.
Keep on punching.
We're all
things.
Together. Yeah. I'm the walrus.
We are together, Kung Lao. And yeah. then he goes back to the fight and he beats Shang Tsung. And, yeah.
Jen, I can't stay. But I had to see you one last time.
This is not the end, Kung Lao. Your strength is in me and mine in you. You must finish what you've started before it's too late.
So then we get back to the tournament, and we find out that Kung Lao is in love with this girl, Jen, which I didn't make the connection that the girl in the vision was... I thought she was going to be some sort of goddess or something. I mean,
yes.
Another Mortal Kombat. I didn't make the connection until, I think, my second watch that was actually Jen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the girl in the vision doesn't look much like the girl that the Jen we see later, but it was
right.
Jen.
I mean, look, one of my notes was the outfits, Jen's outfits specifically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, if... The Vision Gen and the real life Gen just are allergic to clothes, you know, then they're definitely the same,
well,
the same person, you know?
You know, one of the funny notes about the show is so low budget. They supposedly literally could not afford bras for the women for their costumes.
Hence, oh, my gosh.
Hence why I
can't. That was pretty obvious.
You can literally see Jen's nipples through her shirt at all point.
Sure.
And not just like a Jen Aniston-style Friends nipple.
Yep.
It is full-on areola. I mean, I cannot believe that got through the censors.
Yeah,
I'm and then you see fake Jade, Vorpax, mm-hmm. when they do her pan up on her first shot, you can see her labia majora on full display there.
No.
I mean,
that
it
was pretty ridiculous.
It
really was.
I did not notice that, but I... That sucks.
I don't know if you could maybe you couldn't see it on your phone.
I don't know if they got paid enough for this. They definitely didn't.
I mean, I felt bad for them. And, you know, I mean, it's not like the male characters were immune to this. I mean, they did linger on Kung Lao's muscular buttocks several times, especially when he's in his red pants.
Oh, when he got knocked down
yeah.
and they just kind of zoom in.
Well, they even did a pan up on Ciro at one point and linger on his, you know, his cock area.
Yeah, <that's> true.
They lingered on that area.
It's all about the sexiness.
It is. I mean, everybody in Zuzu Zuby Zoo is dressed like in Xena style. Like, everybody's got a boob window, tits yeah. out, you know, asses out everywhere. Everybody's wearing G-strings and metal bikinis. And I mean,
the dudes look like they're dressed from Fabio's closet,
oh, yeah.
you know,
like billowy shirts.
The Shiro guy is like, you know, with his like
yeah.
big white flowy shirt,
yeah.
but like it cuts down to his chest.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah,
I couldn't decide if he was.
Everybody's like, I can't tell if like people want to fight or they want to fuck. You know, like,
there's really not that much like, between the two.
Probably
yeah.
both.
A little bit of both.
It's like the first episode of Black Mirror this season.
No, I haven't seen those. So no spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah. Come on, man.
You bastard. And it's funny because one of the notes on this is that Kung Lao is supposed to be a Shaolin monk. And he's in love with Jin and he wants to run away there, but he still wants to be a monk. But the thing is, Shaolin monks are celibate.
Yeah.
So he's kind of violating his own...
That is true.
His own
Even though his beliefs
faith.
Are this driving force as to why he
yes.
like spared Shao Tsung and
right.
Shang Tsung and all that kind of stuff.
Even when he's trying to talk to Jin's dad and take her away... And he tells her, or he tells the Baron, the generic white businessman, tells him he has to go make money. He's like, you'd ask me to give up my faith? Dude, you're already giving up your faith by boning down the Jin.
Right.
I mean, you're already violating your own principles by doing that. So it's...
And unfortunately, it's this dumb, like, telenovela plot that, you know, that takes up most of the running time for this...
Yes,
yes.
For this pilot. So, like... I don't understand that choice, you
yeah.
know? Like, I mean, because, like, if you're going to be trying to sell people on, like, the Mortal Kombat mythology, where would you think, like, okay, well, what people really want to see is not dudes' spines getting, like, ripped out, but,
yeah.
like,
Love
we
want
to see a scantily clad lady running away with a monk that doesn't know what his religion is, and apparently, like, kind of a weirdly sexist old dude that... treats women as property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, why not? That'll really reel him in, you know? I'm actually amazed that they got a full season order.
Yeah,
how many episodes are
22
there?
Episodes of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that's a... Like, you could not pull that crap today.
Maybe we should do a podcast devoted to all 22 episodes. We'll break them down in detail.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
We're going to screw the pilot project. We're going all Mortal Kombat Conquest.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to note is... every time that they're in the temple and Raiden and Kung Lao are talking, they love over-the-shoulder acting. Do you notice they never make eye contact? They're never faced towards each other. One of them is always standing in front of the other one, facing the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And talking, like arguing, but never looking at each other in the face. It's this constant over-the-shoulder acting at all points. I don't know what they're staring at in the distance. Maybe it's cue cards, but they never, ever make eye contact.
I mean, I did notice that.
I feel like they're just holding each other tenderly.
It is almost like a... I don't know, an Air Supply music video almost.
Sure.
I mean, it makes sense of the era. So there was, Sero and Jin, they are probably, because when we go to Zubi Zoo, and we meet Sero for the first time, they linger on his wiener, and we get to see, more nipples from Jin. They have a brief conversation, and you find out that everything in this show, every scene has horrible techno, and it's revealed that techno is the plague upon society that everybody should know it is. And it's under every piece of dialogue in this entire fucking show. And it's...
Zero!
Miss me?
Absolutely not. Zero, tell me the trip went well. I need my father in a good mood today.
You know I always tell you what you want to hear, Jen. But this time it might actually be true. I just got your father a very sweet deal of 200 pounds of cinnamon.
Good, then he won't mind me asking for a gift.
A gift?
Yeah, for the Temple of the Order of Light. It's their holiest week.
Oh, I know that Mortal Kombat nonsense.
Nonsense or not, it's only right for us as citizens here to make an offering to the temple and its fighters.
Like Kung Lao?
Yes. Wish me luck.
And no, they might have a brief pause, but then it'll start cranking up again when he's like, oh, shit's about to get real. Oh, they're having a love scene.
Well, I mean, I think it's just the... I made note of the composer, but then I got so angry at the music that I was like, I hate you. But it's basically people like this composer doing like a bad cover of the very iconic Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, by the Immortals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which there was an entire Mortal Kombat album we'll get to later by the Immortals. Right. But yeah, it's a cheap ripoff. The intro song is a cheap ripoff of the Mortal Kombat song. And I think because of that...
The whole show's really a cheap ripoff.
Well, sure.
It's like edgy Power Rangers, but like not...
Oh, all the fights are straight out of Power Rangers.
That's the kind of vibe that I'm getting. Like it kind of has the vibe of... darky Power Rangers, but also like the sets look like they were taken from... What was that a Nickelodeon show, like the Legends of the Forgotten Temple or
Legends
something?
Legends of the
like,
Hidden Temple.
The Hidden
yes.
Temple. There you go. Like, don't they look like that? Like, whenever Shang Tsung is in, the mines or whatever, it's just kind of like.
Look like paper mache.
Yeah. This is bad.
Yeah. It's very, very cheap.
I was going to everything looks like styrofoam.
And the other thing I was going to say, because of that techno, I think they had to ADR every piece of dialogue in the show.
There was a lot of ADR.
Everything was, you could tell, was that. I don't know, it's like almost over-modulated quality of ADR that if it's not done well, you can just tell. It's like they could barely hear anything on set.
Yeah.
And then they it's had like to loop at the very techno. Top of the mix.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you're right. And then they had to loop in the techno, so then they had to ADR over that. What a beating to have to go back and ADR all this dialogue and sync it up. So yeah, we've got the primary conflict is, again, Shao Kahn trying to take over. Kung Lao doesn't want to lead the next generation of fighters. He only wants to marry Jin and screw and, I guess be a monk, whatever that entails.
Yeah.
And the primary conflict of the episode is him trying to get access to Jin, and so he goes to talk to her daddy, who is a baron merchant? Some sort of leadership
position. Some sort of baron,
in the city.
Yeah.
He's in a trading post. I think, like, his door, like, right above it has a sign that says trading post.
Yes, that's...
In China.
Yeah.
In Zubi Zoo, China.
Yeah, in Zubi Zoo, China.
It says trading post.
But he can also execute people, because he's a merchant, I guess.
Yeah.
He has the power to execute people. And Jin is his daughter. Sero is her bodyguard. He guards that body, guards those nipples all day long. And that's the whole the primary conflict of the episode, really, is that. And then Shang Tsung being stuck in the mines, the cobalt mines of the outer realm.
Well, he's stuck because Shao Kahn like, bans him.
Yes.
He's like, you failed, so I'm going to torture you for an indeterminate amount of time. Again, there's no concept of time and place.
Yes.
For the show, I don't even know. Like, Outer World could be, like, right next door to us, for all I know.
You just
know,
a dimension just right around the corner.
Yeah. I'm going to ban you to these mines because they have these special materials that push down all your powers, except that you're partially human, so does it really work on you? And
so, like, shouldn't he have known that Shao Kahn?
I would think he would know that, yes.
Even if he's not an elder god, he's a god of some sort. He's a minor deity. You would think he would know that.
Yes.
Which I didn't realize all these people weren't humans. I didn't, like, so Shang Tsung and Kung Lao were the only humans in this verse?
I guess.
Yep. That made no sense. But everybody else is human, but they're not human. So
from the human realm,
The human realm,
that Raiden is protecting. Yeah, snarky comments.
He protects it with the power of snark and lightning.
Yes.
Yeah, it made no sense. But that's in the mines. The paper mache mines is where we meet Vorpax, who is not Jade, the fake Jade,
right,
and her Lady Majora.
Moose knuckle. Yeah, moose knuckle.
Yes, we meet her camel toe, and after she goads this guy Z-Pack or something like that into he's the fake Orion slave trader from Star Trek without the green skin, and that's how we find out that Shang Tsung still has his powers because he burns him to death.
Yes,
and then Jade wants to team up with him and
for reasons
because he's got power and that Shang Tsung dick, I guess, I don't know. And she leads him to Scorpion, who Scorpion is a literal scorpion in a birdcage.
But also, he's a tiny scorpion with a yellow stripe.
Yes.
In a cage.
Would you want to be the prop guy that has to paint a real scorpion? I would have been terrified.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm like, you do not have the budget to pay me for that.
No, thank you. I'm not taking, I mean, I would
have. They don't even have bra money, so, like, no.
They got scorpion paint money, but they don't even got bra money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I'd have to be wearing a full hazmat suit to even consider that. And armor, like full-on armor, something like that.
Yeah.
Grilling gloves.
Well, you know they couldn't afford it. So.
No. Yeah. Can you at least give me a pair of grilling gloves? That way maybe I won't get stung.
Some yellow gardening gloves. That's what
I'm
gonna get you.
So she leads him to Scorpion, and rather than, you know, free Scorpion to, I don't know, help them get out of the mines, he sends him to Earth, where he takes over the body of Takeda, who is one of Daddy Merchant's other guards, and who is one of Kung Lao's best friends.
How's that working out? You know what
not
I mean?
Not well.
Like, it's just...
Which was an awesome montage when the Scorpion just spun and spun and spun and then...
And then shot down.
Took off to Earth.
With like that sweet 1992 CG fire.
Yeah,
and why Takeda? Why does it pick Takeda of all people?
Just
because he's unconscious? Just because it's plot convenient?
The plot convenient, yeah.
I guess. Very loose threads here. And it's just because it's convenient, he inhabits the body of Takeda. And then at the very end, when Kung Lao comes back to try to get Jin again, he has to knock out Takeda, who then becomes Scorpion after he's unconscious.
Yes.
And then he goes up to get Jin, and Scorpion takes over his body, and Shiro comes in. We haven't talked about Kristana Loken in the show at all.
Oh, yeah.
But they have this fight at the end, and that's really... Takeda comes up as Scorpion, but without Scorpion costume or powers, and they have the fight where they have the hand-to-hand exchange five times in the same fight, an extreme close-up, and Takeda ends up whipping his ass.
That's where you get to get over here.
Yes, you get to get over here, and then Daddy's going to take him and execute him. Daddy Merchant's going to take him and execute him.
Yes.
So basically, this guy that can defend all of Earth against a powerful sorcerer got his ass beat by...
Fake Scorpion.
Fake Scorpion.
Yeah. Yes. Pretty much.
So, I mean, that's one of those things, right, where all these shows that try to adapt video games like that, it's like, they never get the powers right. So it's just kind of like, it always becomes like plot convenient, like when a guy is successful in a fight, when he isn't. And so it always makes it seem so hokey.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter what, it's just kind of like, I always roll my eyes at it. Like, I don't know.
No,
I feel like, I'm thinking like Dragon Ball Z is always like that.
Well, it's the same problem the Street Fighter movie had. You know, it's like they're trying to weave a plot and bring in all these
characters. That movie had a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah, but even then, like, you didn't get, I mean, it's not like you ever got to see Guile's spinning blade energy attack thing.
No.
You got to see, I think Blanka might have been, was one of the, in Bison, were one of the few you got to actually see some of their signature stuff, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. It's just they get everything wrong, and they're trying to assemble these disconnected, disparate characters, a thin premise of a game, into an actual universe.
But like, from what I understand is that, I mean, I'm not, you know, hardcore Mortal Kombat guy or anything, but from what I remember reading bits and pieces throughout the years, like, there's a storyline, like, you know, like, what's his name? Johnny Cage, he's died, you know, Sub-Zero, like you said, like, he's become a good guy, bad guy, whatever. Like there are stories.
They put a whole generational plot into the new game, actually.
Oh, really?
Where, like, their older selves meet up with their younger selves, and there's this whole, like, time loop story going on.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Like, they could have done something like that. I don't know.
Is Cyril your favorite character in that game?
No, absolutely. You know it.
Bringing Vorpax to fight Jade.
I like to play the Baron at the trading post.
Yeah.
That's my favorite character.
Jerick White businessman.
He's got, yeah.
Who might as well be wearing
chinos.
He's
got the tariff attack.
Exactly.
He's so generic. He looks just like some guy that was ripped out of like a JCPenney catalog.
He's Michael Sheen's stunt double's double, you know?
Who's Michael Sheen? I know the name, but I can't place this.
Charlie Sheen's dad. Like,
oh, Martin
like
Sheen.
Old white.
Martin Sheen.
No, is Martin Sheen?
Martin Sheen is.
Or is it?
It's Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen is his dad, yeah.
Okay, whatever. Too many Sheens. whatever. But yeah, you know what? He reminds me, funny enough, of Martin Sheen, I guess, in Spawn.
I barely remember that movie.
Another terrible adaptation.
Which they're supposed to make another Spawn movie.
Yeah, it's supposed to be edgy.
Yeah, isn't Spawn always supposed to be edgy?
I can't wait for the Zack Snyder cut of this.
Hopefully we'll have John Michael White come back. Wasn't he the Spawn in the original one?
He was.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have him come back, just resume his role. But it's not a sequel. It's a remake.
Right.
Nope.
It's not like you saw his face anyways, really, I think, except maybe in the beginning.
True. I mean, give me back John Leguizamo, man. Like as the
Violator.
He was
the clown, right?
He was a clown, Violator.
Yeah. Yeah, he was actually pretty good.
Yeah, he was real cool.
Christina Loken in the show is pretty much a wasted character. She is in the middle of the show. She's Ciro and Jin, and her nipples are on the way to the temple to greet Kung Lao's butt, and they get attacked by these people who are wearing red blankets and posing as monks, and it's right. Christina Loken, I guess, trying to rob them, her and her two ninja pals.
There's that, and then she's used for sex later.
And then she's later used for sex.
It.
Yeah, she... Kung Lao saves them. Ciro's the bodyguard. He can't save her. Kung Lao saves them, and then Ciro wants to execute her. But then Kung Lao says, oh, no blood is spilled on sacred ground. I can't betray my oaths, but I'm going to go bone down with Jin here.
Right.
So he takes her to be the house slave of Baron Daddy Merchant, and he tries to rape her later.
Yeah.
She really doesn't get almost any lines. She gets one line in the fight.
She's just sassy.
She's just a sassy
defiant.
Thief.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty much wasted. I guess she becomes a later major character later as Tasha, but I don't think they even...
Well, let us know.
You know,
when you watch
well-known
the
Mortal
episodes.
Kombat character Tasha.
Yeah.
Like Vorpax.
We'll find out in the Mortal Kombat cast, the Conquest cast.
Yeah.
good
episodes.
How have we not talked about this? Why is it Conquest with a C and not a K?
Exactly.
Oh, that pissed me off. Like,
prime opportunity. Come on. Come on, guys.
I feel like they stick a K in everything.
They do.
In the games. And this, I feel like that should have been the first warning sign.
That they couldn't bother to transfer.
No, they didn't do Conquest.
Yes. It was a prime mistake, for sure.
The games put a K for continue. I mean, they do it everywhere.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't have much else on the show, because this was just a train wreck from beginning to end. It was...
it's pretty bad.
I was so annoyed by the show.
Yep.
Like, end-to-end annoyed.
Yeah. I mean, the choreography was terrible / non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, where is the hook for Mortal Kombat people? Like, it's not like you're going to have... I don't know, Debbie from the suburbs wanting to watch the show and like, ooh, let's see what this is all about.
Hey,
don't
talk down about Debbie.
You know.
Debbie might very well like her video games.
Sure.
Seems like you're trying to,
but also, like,
trying to shame a suburban housewife.
Is she really into, like, I don't know, weird scorpion dudes but also weird, like, forbidden love plots? I don't know.
Maybe she's into both. She's a multifaceted woman,
maybe,
Debbie.
Maybe. But I don't know. Are we multifaceted? Do we care enough about that? I don't think so. I think I'm just a simple man, and I just want weird ninja dudes punching each other.
It's basically a terrible mashup of a video game and a soap opera.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
It's like a telenovela, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it takes so many things from, like, the early adaptation things of, like, the 90s, and it never does anything right. Like, it almost kind of reminds me of, like, the early X-Men movies, mm-hmm. where they were like, oh, yellow suits, that's so dumb, let's give them dark and leather outfits
and
toads and stuff, and I don't know, man. It was a bummer. I asked you before we recorded, I was like, hey, should we have And I mean, I know this is the pilot project of it, but like, so this is a two-part, we should say that it is a two-part pilot. And I was like, do we need to watch both of them? And I was like, at first I was like, well, I don't know, maybe I should watch the second one just for context. And then I was done with it. And I was like, I'm not gonna
I thought about
that.
It too. And I watched the first one. I'm like,
you know, I got to carpet this DM and that's not living my best life. No, as the kids say.
Yeah. I don't care enough.
No.
Yeah.
I don't care enough either. I was highly annoyed. I think I've been more annoyed at the show more than just about anything else we've done in the show.
Really? I don't know that it's necessarily the worst thing we've seen.
Well, I think it was the techno. I think the constant techno injected into every scene.
It was really poorly executed, yes.
Yes. I was annoyed by all the actors. Acting in the heaviest of quotation marks.
My mother, the car, had no expectation. I thought this would at least be... I thought it'd at least be decent.
I guess that's maybe why I was annoyed, because it was so poorly executed. You got some semblance of a story there to draw from.
Yes.
And I was annoyed end to end with this. I mean, the terrible acting, the constant techno, the poorly designed sets, I don't know, the plot conveniences.
The styrofoam sets.
It almost feels like this pilot episode, these two pilot episodes, I mean, I'm guessing, but if they feel like they should have been the... You know what would fix this is make, like, you know, like the intro that explains the entire Mortal Kombat mechanics, make that be the, like, a montage sequence of everything that's happened in this dumb episode, and then start the episode, or start the show right after whatever the two pilot episodes would have, like the story for the two pilot episodes. And I feel like that would have been way more concise. You'd be like, okay, because I mean, at this point, I feel like, Kung Lao is obviously going to be training the new warriors.
Yeah.
More likely than not, Jen is going to die or somebody is going to die. And, you know, get through all of that. Give them that tragic backstory, but like make it a backstory, and then start where like the action picks up. Like that's the mistake that they did. Like they extended an intro to two episodes, and then like failed to land anything interesting about it.
Yeah.
Although if the fighting is going to be this terrible, I don't know if I want to watch 22 episodes of like blocking, what were you calling it?
Yeah,
like
hand-to-hand
and,
blocking.
Yeah,
drills.
And like kicks.
Yeah.
Kicks and blocks.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. A lot of wire foo and poorly done at that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, after this, we'll get to some fun facts.
Secret codes for Mortal Kombat. And if you think Mortal Kombat is awesome now, wait till you play with Game Genie.
Game Genie, each sold separately for most video game systems.
Prepare yourself for combat. Mortal Kombat action figures. Fight for right in your own tournament of champions. Liu Kang. Johnny Cage. Raiden.
Get over here.
Sub-Zero. Reptile in the Dragon MK1. Kino on the combat cycle. Mortal Kombat. It's not just a game anymore. Mortal Kombat action figures. Combat cycle comes with Kino. Dragon MK1 comes with Reptile.
In this contest, when you stop winning, you stop breathing.
Finish him!
Feel the rush of Mortal Kombat the series. Tonight at 11 after WCW Monday Nitro on TNT.
All right, time for some fun facts. This one doesn't have... There's not a lot on the internet about this, about the history of the show. It seemed like it is, you know, mostly faded into obscurity. There's no Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic score for this. IMDb users give it 6.5 out of 10, and Google gives it 95% show.
They're wrong.
The Google users are crazy.
They are stupid. Another reason to get rid of Chrome. this show was produced by Threshold Entertainment. They're actually the same company that did the Mortal Kombat films, the original and Annihilation after. This show was originally syndicated by the WB, which was, for those who don't know, that was the network before the CW came along, before they merged with UPN and became CW. But actually, in, the show was eventually picked up by TNT for a post WCW Monday Nitro show, which made it actually made it quite popular for the time. And they actually, because of that, they started putting wrestlers on the show later. Some of the wrestlers of the WCW wrestlers of the time appeared on the show. But because of this, the budgets got larger and larger, I'm guessing they still didn't couldn't afford bras later around probably episode 21. But ultimately led to its demise. It wasn't popular enough to offset the budget, apparently. So this one, like Swamp Thing we did recently, 1990 Swamp Thing, this one also was filmed at Universal Studios Orlando, hence the extremely cheap sets and turning out cheap, crappy shows. You know, we talked about before the break, we talked about how it's called Conquest with a C. Originally, it was called Mortal Kombat Crusade with a K. But WB at the same time. So Babylon 5 had just ended, and they had a spinoff called Babylon 5 Crusade. And so WB thought it would be too confusing to have two shows called Crusade. So that's why they changed Mortal Kombat to Mortal Kombat Conquest with a C, apparently.
But you had the idea for the K for Crusade?
I know. Yeah. I know. Oh, that made no sense.
Yeah.
Every show had a mandate that it had to have no less than three fights. So almost every episode had three fights in 42 minutes. And they weren't really sure when they ended the season, they weren't really sure if they were coming back because TNT did not announce the cancellation for quite a while. So the writers started working on season two, and then TNT canceled it. But they did come up with their idea for the second season. So the end of the first season, everybody dies. Shao Kahn takes over Earth. Shang Tsung rebels, tries to rebel against Shao Kahn, but he ends up getting... I think Shang Tsung gets killed also. All the other main characters get killed. Raiden gets captured by Shao Kahn, and he's forced to watch as Shao Kahn takes over Earth.
Mm.
But their idea for season two was that was going to be a dream sequence of Shang Tsung. Shang Tsung, it's his, like it, the entire thing of the demise of Earth and all that would have been a dream sequence. So a cheap ripoff, way to get away from that. I think the way it should have been, personally, was, I was talking to Javi about this before you got here, that every season should have just been a new Mortal Kombat tournament and like different generation. If they'd done an anthology show where every season was a different group of fighters telling the story of Mortal Kombat through the time, that would have been cool.
I mean, that would have been real easy to keep, like, if we're talking, since budget was such an issue, keep the actor, you know, contracts, you know, the salary down. Because it's not like if you don't have recurring guys, like, it's cheaper.
Right.
And, you know, they could have even, like, gone through all of the actual established characters and gotten out of war packs and...
Yeah.
All those that have been like, all right, whatever.
Maybe you keep like Raiden for continuity or something.
Yeah, exactly. He's the constant of the universe.
Yeah.
Maybe every episode is it's an anthology show, so you have people playing a new character and it tells their story through every episode. Yeah. Maybe let's say the first 13 episodes, and then the last one is bringing all of them together in the tournament itself, and you get to see how their plots play out through the tournament itself.
Like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a thought. Instead of trying to weave in nipples and romance.
Yeah, sure. I mean, nipples would have been there.
Oh, sure. Nipples would have been there.
Based on the way the show was.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not a lot of interesting trivia, but apparently, according to Universal Tour Guide, according to this one guy, day players, extras, and recurring guest cast were told not to speak to the main cast unless they were spoken to first.
Wow.
Because, you know, they're so highfalutin on that Mortal Kombat cast.
Wow. Right.
As I mentioned earlier, due to budget constraints, the costuming department could not afford bras for the ladies. Apparently, underwear either. You know, in the case of Vorpax and her labia majora, the show has the very distinct, accomplishment. I guess that most of their female cast members all appeared in Playboy. Jamie Presley, Angelica Bridges, Sung Hai Lee, Dana He, Renee Tennyson, Kathleen Kinmont, Candace Miller, and Suzanne Stokes all appeared in Playboy sometime. Around the show's run, so
you can just smell the Axe body spray.
That's right,
that trivia fact.
There's actually a working fan site that is still being updated today for Mortal Kombat Conquest. It is the last post was of January 2019, and if you're a fan of the show, you can go to mkcsite.com. And it even has a domain. It's not even a GeoCities or a Tripod site or an Alta Vista site.
What's on there? Did you read through any of it?
I read through some of it.
Let's pull it up right now. It's so just MKC.
MKCsite.com. It's tangential posts. They're things that are loosely connected to Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay.
And it's got, you can get some nice 800 by 600 Mortal Kombat Conquest wallpapers.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Trivia, fun, all kinds of fun facts, episode descriptions.
Do the wallpapers have butts and nipples in them?
I didn't look at all of them, but I did look to see what resolution they were in. They're as high quality as 800 by 600.
Nice.
Ooh, the first image that you see is a very terrible picture of Shao Kahn. Like, without his, like, spiky crown, I guess.
Yeah.
I never knew that the crown wasn't part of his head.
I didn't either. Shao Kahn, I thought, looked horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he looks cool with his crown, But then after that, you're like, oh, this is just like some idiot with a like half a skull.
Wearing a skull? Yeah.
Yeah, half a skull. Ooh, man. This is...
Sounds like you're really interested. Sounds like you're going to keep up with this.
I mean, yeah, apparently the recent news is Happy New Year. Quan Chi returns after 20 years, still looking better than ever.
Yeah, there you go.
Check out this video now and let's make this your year. What? I think also, is it better to bundle changing addresses, bundle home and auto insurance with Allstate? What? I mean, okay, sure.
Well, I think you need to give up writing for Central Track and go write for MKCCI.com. Yeah,
for real. Oh, my God.
That's pretty much...
Hold on real quick.
Yeah.
There are fan-created episodes.
Oh, sweet.
Oh,
we should review one of those. Should definitely do that.
That would be pretty amazing to see.
Yeah.
If you thought the production quality was bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a... I'm scrolling through. There's quite a few, and I'm... There's apparently an episode 23 revival.
Oh,
so nice. It's like, oh, somebody trying to like...
Get it back together.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have piqued your interest today.
Yeah, for real.
There's not much else about the show. So Paolo Montalban, who played Kung Lao, we'll just go through what happened to these people after, which isn't much. He was born in the Philippines and immigrated to America with his family, where he actually was pretty big on Broadway. He did a bunch of Broadway productions, including he did Breakfast at Tiffany's in the last few years with Emilia Clarke. Hmm. He's probably the most successful of the bunch. And fun fact, he was named one of People Magazine's Most Beautiful People. And that was the same year as the show. And he actually released a self-titled album in the Philippines in 2003.
Oh, wow.
Daniel Bernhardt, who plays Cijo or Ciro, whatever his name was. Before Mortal Kombat, he was in Bloodsport 2 through 4, which I didn't know there were so many Bloodsports. he was actually in Matrix Reloaded as well as Agent Johnson and appeared in John Wick as the Russian hitman Kirill. And he was in Altered Carbon and Barry recently. So I guess he's been somewhat successful as well.
Barry's so good.
It is very
Barry?
Good. Yes, love Barry.
Oh, so good.
Highly recommend.
Real talk, way better than Game of Thrones this season.
Like, also better than Mortal Kombat, surprisingly, in Conquest.
It was.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, much better.
I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it, but yeah, this is my hot take.
Ciro was trained in real life in Taekwondo and Karate. Kristana Loken, who played Taja, whatever her name is, got her start in modeling, moved to TV with Unhappily Ever After and Boy Meets World. And then after Mortal Kombat, she wanted to star in Terminator 3 as the TX. She was in The L-Word for 10 episodes. She was in Sci-Fi's Painkiller Jane, based on the video game. And she was also in Blood Rain, based on the video game, and the terrible video game movie Dungeon Siege, if you've ever seen that gem.
Is that like a UA Bowl joint?
Yeah, that
sounds about right.
fun fact about her, she grew up on a fruit farm in Wisconsin. So
that is very fun.
It's so fun. Tracy Douglas, who played Not Jade, Vorpax, she got her start as an extra in Eddie Murphy's movie Boomerang, and then after Mortal Kombat, not so much. Her last appearance was in 2010 in a film short called Written Off. So... good luck, Vorpax. Bruce Locke, who played Shang Tsung, I think was actually one of the better people in the show. He was in a bunch of B-rated TV shows in the 90s and aughts, and he's done a bunch of video game work as well. And he was best known before MK as the android ninja Otomo in RoboCop 3. And fun fact, he was trained in Kenpo, Wing Chun, Shaolin Kung Fu, and Choi Li Foot, which I had never heard of. And then lastly, Jeffrey Meek, who played Raiden in Shao Kahn. He appeared in a few films before Mortal Kombat, but is mostly known for his stage work in California. And like I said, he went on to co-write the Kevin Spacey film Beyond the Sea. And fun fact, he is also trained in Taekwondo and Aikido. So a few.
But wait, arts. So the trained people are the ones that are barely fighting?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Paul Montalban was not a martial artist.
No. He's barely an actor.
He's really barely is. So let's talk about some of the Mortal Kombat franchise, some of the bad, worst things. So there were the Mortal Kombat comics, which were also spelled with a K, in the 90s from Malibu Entertainment. And they had failed with their Street Fighter franchise, and that one got canceled because apparently it was really bad. And so they decided to do the same thing to Mortal Kombat. And if you go look for some of the art, it is like that stereotypical Rob Liefeld, Youngblood style of art style with
pouches everywhere,
pouches,
no
tiny
feet.
Hands, no feet, giant pectorals and boobs. Always women are always posed from the ass. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it has a distinction of having a robot clone that combines everyone's powers from the game at some point. Because there's that.
That's oh my God. Weird, okay.
Around the same time as the Mortal Kombat Conquest TV show, there was Defenders of the Realm, which was Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm, which is a cartoon for kids. And this is about the same time that the Senate hearings around Mortal Kombat stuff were taking place. And the plot basically assembles them as, it's kind of like Street Fighter, the Street Fighter movie where they're assembled into a team. They're like a G.I. Joe style team. And so it takes place after the first movie, and Raiden, Liu Kang, Katana Jax, Sonya Nightwolf, Striker, and Sub-Zero They are their own action force. They even have their own Batcave and vehicles. And they basically wait for portals to open up on Earth, and a Mortal Kombat Fighter of the Week comes, you know, popping in as the villain. They have to go take him or her down. And apparently the catchphrase of the show is Sonya screaming, "It's combat time." And it had the distinction of starring Ron Perlman as Stryker and Luke Perry, R.A.P., as Sub-Zero.
Aww.
Much has changed since the last Mortal Kombat tournament. Dark forces of Outworld have begun invading the Earth realm. These attacks are seriously weakening Earth's dimensional fabric, enabling not only Outworlders to enter the Earth realm, but warriors from other domains as well. Only the most extraordinary warriors could possibly meet this challenge. Liu Kang, Princess Kitana, Sub-Zero, Jax, Sonya Blade, Nightwolf, Kiva, Curtis Stryker. Driven by purpose and bound by honor, these are the defenders of the realm.
And then, of course, we had the Mortal Kombat, the album by the Immortals that we mentioned before. It was a techno album. It, you know, they got famous for that banging Mortal Kombat track back in the day, which I still like. Yeah. But then I kind of went through other songs on, you can find pieces of it on YouTube. It's pretty much that same riff on every song. It's in every song. Yeah. Just about the Goro song is real interesting.
Sure.
But they have such gym lyrics as, please. You know what?
It's really good music for the gym, though. When you're getting those gains,
the
man.
That one song is good.
Yeah, but if you put it on loop, then it'll motivate you after a certain point to like make it stop. So you want to get through it.
Yeah.
They had such wonderful lyrics as, "Please welcome Mr. John Carlton, the blue-eyed actor from Venice, California. He's cool, he's hot, he's crazy. Here's Johnny Cage from the United States of America. The movie star with the iron fist. He's 29, he's mean, and he's in great shape. The one and only Johnny Cage." So, yeah, you can find that song. There, you can go on YouTube and find the Johnny Cage song from this album.
Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
I forgot about Liu Kang, too. I used to play a lot with him, too.
Yeah, Liu Kang, this is something that I forgot to mention, but, like, it is weird that they're making Kung Lao the main dude, because typically, like, in any adapted stuff, it always seems like it's Liu Kang is the protagonist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kung Lao's his, like, buddy or, like, kind of mentor, but not as much of a mentor as Raiden.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, I'm curious why they chose him.
Yeah. Maybe because that would have been modern Tet, and they wanted to set it in ancient times.
Oh,
maybe
sure, that's why. Sure.
Yeah, I don't true. Know.
And then lastly, there was a Mortal Kombat live tour, a live-action stage show with choreographed fights and dancing, and to teach kids the responsibility of violence, or, you know, how to avoid violence, and I guess, I don't know, teach them good lessons, good life lessons.
I see you got a YouTube link to it there.
I do. There is, and I'll play some of it here, but there is a full-on KTLA, this is the only footage that supposedly exists of the Mortal Kombat live tour, and it's these really doughy guys dressed in Mortal Kombat costumes doing fight choreography.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
All right, wow. Pretty tough crowd you hang with.
Yes, they are.
That is just a preview of the show that you'll be able to catch, and it is coming into the Southland. It's called Mortal Kombat. Let me, first of all, start by having you introduce yourself and the cast of characters behind you here.
My name is Shang Tsung.
All right. And starting over here?
Sub-Zero to my left. Kano, Scorpion, Sonya Blade, Liu Kang, Baraka, and Cabal.
Tell us a little bit about the show and what do you expect kids to get from this? I mean, the video's already come under a little bit of criticism for some of the violence. This is a pretty wild act.
Yes, it is. The show is based on a martial art aspect of the video game, Mortal Kombat. And it's already been to a movie, and now we're doing the live tour. It's been under, the violence has always been around, but what martial arts and this show has to present is all positive messages.
What sort of positive messages?
Well, it helps children be able to be concerned about violence and the difference between martial arts and violence. It helps them to be positive. It helps them to be able to overcome any obstacles which is in their life and to be able to obtain goals. It helps them to commit to good things in their lives.
So 1998 in TV. So a few fun facts about 1998. After 37 years, ABC's Wide World of Sports was canceled. The Price is Right aired its 5,000th episode. 76.3 million people tune in live to the series finale of Seinfeld, which Dustin and I did. We had a party around Seinfeld at that point.
Grandpa's.
Phil Hartman was shot and killed by his wife, who then turned around and killed herself.
Oh, indeed.
That was a dark day. The Family Channel began airing the 13 Nights of Halloween, and that actually still airs today, although it's been expanded to the 31 Nights of Halloween.
Even though more Halloween.
Yeah, we need more Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen Halloween movies. The Powerpuff Girls debuts as the final TV show for the legendary animation studio Hanna-Barbera.
You're a big fan of them, right?
I love the Powerpuff Girls. Yeah, the show was really, really
good.
It was
really fun.
The movie wasn't good, but the show itself was good.
Didn't they bring it back?
They did, which I never saw the new one. I never saw it.
That sucks.
Yeah. A new station. So probably one of the more significant events of 1998, which I didn't know anything about this, but apparently on April 30th, 1998, a bunch of news stations got criticized because they all captured a man committing suicide live on TV. And it was this guy, Daniel Jones. He had found out that he had cancer and AIDS within a few months of each other. And
that is not a good combo.
No. And he already had mental instability on top of that. So on April 30th, 1998, Daniel Jones, he parked his truck on a highway on Harbor Freeway in L.A. with his dog and began pointing a shotgun at passing cars. So police started calling police. And the police came, and he talked to 911 and said he was protesting HMOs and the mistreatment he felt he was getting because he was suffering from AIDS and cancer. After that, he got out of his truck, unfurled a banner that said, HMOs are in it for the money, live free, love safe, or die. He then got back in his truck to pet his dog, at which point he then set off a Molotov cocktail inside the cab, which engulfed the truck in fire. He then ran out of the vehicle, engulfed in flames. Of course, his dog was dead. And he then patted him out, and then he took off his pants. And then at this point, he returned to his truck, grabbed the shotgun out of the bed, put the barrel in his mouth, and with every seven stations zoomed into his face, he pulled the trigger, airing it live. This was after they had interrupted kids' cartoons to air this news
chase.
Holy
crap, man. Yes.
So,
what the hell?
Yeah. Only one station pulled back into a wide shot, but they still aired his suicide on TV. This led to a huge criticism of news stations and their constant pursuing of police chases live, not knowing how things will end. And I don't think that has changed at all since then.
No, the sad thing is, like, I was with this guy doing a protest thing until he, like, killed his dog. I'm like, be an asshole about it.
Well, he was mentally unstable. Yeah, his story actually appears in the Michael Moore documentary Bowling for Columbine, which kind of explores the causes behind the Columbine massacre, media proliferation.
I swear that just happened to CNN or Fox News.
I think you're right.
A couple years ago, some guy.
It was KTLA again.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, it was some event where some guy got killed on.
Well, there was some guy that shot himself in the face, too.
Oh, was it that, too? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things have not really changed. Nothing really changed. But that was one of the more significant events. So, show is premiering in 1998. Dawson's Creek, Power Rangers in Space, Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, Ryan Reynolds start. Teletubbies, Sex and the City, That 70s Show, TRL, Felicity, Will and Grace, VIP, and Charmed, both of which is the latter two we've done on this show.
That's cool. Quite an all-star cast of shows there.
It is. Shows ending in 1988, The Secret World of Alex Mack, Bobby's World, Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation, Seinfeld, Murphy Brown, The Larry Sanders Show, Step by Step, Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, Babylon 5, Power Rangers in Space, and Mr. Show with Bob and David.
So Power Rangers in Space, not a long run.
Did not get a long run. No, it did not. So final thoughts on Mortal Kombat Conquest with a C.
Are you still exploring the site over there?
Yeah, I think you're still browsing.
Yeah, I was like, well, there's just so many of the fan-made episodes that I'm like, it almost... Look, everybody's going to be really into something if you look hard enough on the internet. But, like, the fact that there's like, it seems like there's 30 fan-made episodes of the show. Makes me think, like, did we miss something? But on the other hand, I'm like, are you testing our friendship by making me come on this episode? So, that's like, I don't know.
This is our version of Mortal Kombat.
It's a roller coaster of emotions here, you know?
Yeah, this is our version of Mortal Kombat. I think you should really stop writing for Central Track and go write for MKCSide.com. Think of all the blog posts you could put together.
Absolutely. Mm. You probably have exclusive access, pretty much.
That's true.
Yeah.
You could probably review every fan episode.
Yeah.
Mm. So, final thoughts on Dustin?
Final thoughts on Dustin.
Final thoughts on Dustin.
I mean, really good friend. Held up over the years.
On Mortal Kombat.
We said a lot already about it.
That, almost too much.
Pretty much sums up my final thoughts on it. Yeah. It was a terrible... The concept was terrible.
Yeah.
They did not pull enough from the actual video game storyline, as goofy as that sounds. There's way more in the actual video game than they did here. And... if you're going to ask about should this be remade, I would say in this version, absolutely not. I do think like a Mortal Kombat TV series could probably work okay on like a Netflix or an Amazon Prime or something.
Well, didn't they try doing like a web-only?
There was a web-only thing.
Yeah, and I think it started like at that point it was like a Sonya and whatever
it was
that.
Jax.
And Jax. Like I kind of like, but that's the crazy thing, right? It's like Mortal Kombat has enough characters to where you could take so many angles with it. Like you could have it be like a sort of police procedural sort of type of deal that gets where Law people get Mortal roped Kombat. Into like a bigger, more cosmic thing. Or it could be like the monks or whatever. Yeah. And it's just.
Yeah.
A lot of ways
to go. I don't know why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just because they tried to do too much. They tried to make it like Xena or Hercules of the time. It was about that. It was probably worse than those shows. Definitely worse than Xena. They tried to make it that Adventure of the Week show that those shows were.
Well,
it was,
Hercules and Xena had several seasons and were fairly successful in syndication. So
yeah, true.
I would assume this is worse.
It just felt like that's what they were trying to get a Saturday afternoon syndicated show going, basically, and this is what it felt like, or Mutant X of the day, or whatever.
Although I honestly never watched those either. I never watched
me neither.
Hercules or Xena or anything.
I watched Hercules when it first came on, because I was probably 11 or 12 when it first started.
Yeah.
I didn't stick with it, and I watched some Xena. I didn't watch a ton of it, but, you know, it was... If you're sitting around farting around on a Saturday afternoon or just farting.
I remember having that on.
It's what's on.
I remember having those in the background as a kid when it was like, I had to do chores around the house on Saturday afternoons. Like,
yeah, if you got nothing to do.
Background noise.
Yeah, like they are very much background noise. And then every once in a while you'll see like, you know, Lucy Lawless is doing her little yell and jumping and weirdly homoerotic subtext.
Nothing wrong with that. Her and Gabrielle.
It was great.
It was great. I don't know that I in this specific, if we're to remake the specific story, no. But
no,
I think, like we said, I think there are possibilities for a Mortal Kombat TV show, but you have to do something different with it completely. You can't try to make it an Adventure of the Week show. It's just...
You can't do that annoying thing, right, where, like, characters that you recognize are villains of the week, and then they get killed off right away. Like, they're... I feel like you gotta have them stick around. You can't, you gotta build up the conflicts to make them more meaty instead of just like, Scorpion shows up. All right, he's gonna be dead by the end of the episode. It's like, no, that's too big of a character, man. Like, he's like a little stripey scorpion, or he could be a demon. There's a lot of stuff to do there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, well.
Villain of the Week didn't really work with modern audiences anyway, I don't think.
But that was
again, edgy Power Rangers. That's
true.
That's what they were going for.
Yeah. But that was also the era when nobody had DVRs.
Oh, I know.
I mean, there was...
Unless you're a procedural, that works, you know. Obviously.
But hardly any shows had big story arcs back then.
No, I know. I'm just saying if you're going to remake it, though,
you'd
have to do something.
Yeah, I think it needs to be arced. You need to arc it for any future shows. You got to arc it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Javi, anything you want to tease? Any work on Central Track or...
No, man. I'm just chilling, taking care of this baby and...
changing diapers, huh?
Yeah, changing diapers. That's the life right now. But I don't know. Yeah,
2 to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll get back in the swing of things doing movie reviews. Thankfully, I'm not doing anything with... I don't know. I'm kind of over reviewing Disney movies right now. So like, I'm glad to be taking a break for a hot minute. It just feels like
studio owns everything.
It feels like if I write or say anything about Disney, it's like I'm... inadvertently helping them take over culture, and I find them really problematic. So
you might find yourself blacklisted in the industry at some point because they're going to own everything. They'll eventually own Central Track. It will be a Disney property.
You know what? Pete would be really happy about that.
I'm sure he would. I would take that financial windfall.
They'll eventually own your house. Actually.
That's true. Yeah. They'll eventually be. He'll be your children. Your baby will be.
They'll split it with
Disney.
Amazon. It'll be those two companies.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll catch you guys on the next very special episode of The Pilot Project. The Pilot Project is produced by Mark Hudson and Dustin Taylor. We have new episodes every Friday. Email us at pilotprojectpod@gmail.com or find us on social channels as @pilotprojectpod. Links to subscribe to this show for free and links to the TV shows we watch can be found in this episode's show notes or on our website at pilotprojectpod.com.
Thank you for tuning into The Pilot Project.
I'm loving this show.
We hope you enjoyed the show. See you next episode.